Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Out to the phone, we talked to Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great.
All right. Nice. Now, people have poured over the Trump audio and video, and people have gone over all that kind of stuff. I wanted to ask one question that I had. The Penguins and how they played it on social media, they just kind of totally no-selled it. No posts from the Trump visit, from the White House visit. What was their tactic, do you think?
I think it was to just not celebrate it. I think they're trying to be sensitive to the people that it offends. They have their beliefs, and they've reiterated all along that they don't care if somebody protests. They understand that. But I don't know if not rubbing somebody's nose in it is the right term, Colin, but I just think they didn't want to, they don't want to spike the football. They don't want to rub it in anymore. That's the best I can guess. But it is weird. You know, they do tweet so much. They're one of the most active teams in the NHL with that stuff. And when they go dark, you do kind of notice, like, wow, you know, look at last year, look at all the posts they had. But I just think it's, they wanted to maybe respect what's going on in the country right now and everything. You know, the Trump was dealing with that morning. Like, it just wasn't the time to be yucking it up the way it was last year with Obama. And just to how many people were against them going and them being aware of that.
You look at what Ryan Reaves did the other night, 7 hits, 2 fights, and a goal. Also, you know, thrown in there with Crosby a little bit as a reminder. Is that the role that he's looking to do? And is that the time? I mean, 6 minutes and 23 seconds, is that enough to justify him being here? Or is this going to be a situation, or is he probably going to get more time in your eyes?
I think he's going to get more time, Josh, and I think he needs to get more time. I think they're still going to work with him on the penalty kill, and they'd like to get him in there, and that'll bump his minutes up a little bit. I don't think it's ideal for Ryan Reaves to be playing extended shifts next to Sidney Crosby, and I think he needs to pick his spots well. I think one of the misconceptions here is that Ryan Reaves, by being in the lineup, is going to deter anything from happening, and that's just not reality. I think sometimes when Reaves is in the lineup and that stuff happens, it increases the likelihood of it. So I think it's going to be a delicate balance. And I thought they did a good job, and I think Ryan Reaves will actually be a very beneficial part to this hockey team, but 6:23 is a little bit low. I think you need to have even your fourth-line wingers playing a little bit more than that, especially in a game you're winning. You want to sort of be responsible and keep that lead and whatever, and he needs to offer some of that. That being said, you need him sometimes, and you're going to need him sometimes, and the way people treat Crosby and Malkin, even tonight, is one of them. He's a good guy to have in that lineup for sure.
Now, the early season schedule here is weird, and I guess we're probably going to talk. I remember last year talking about how weird the schedule was, and now it's weird again already with 3 games and 4 nights, and then they got a bunch of days off, and now they play again tonight against a rival. They didn't practice on Tuesday, right? They didn't practice yesterday. They had a practice scheduled, and then they canceled it. Are we going to see more of that this year? In other words, more of less practicing? I know that they've started doing away with game day skates on a more frequent basis, but are we going to see more days off, even with stretches between games, do you think?
I think he'll be a little bit more liberal with that stuff, Jim. And I think what we're going to see is some of the stuff we saw in the playoffs last year. Like, if they have a practice and a game day skate, a lot of times in the playoffs last year, they would split up. Like, you could either skate on practice day or you could skate for the morning skate. And a lot of these guys prefer practice days. They'd rather get a day of practice in and then just not take the game day skate. So I think that's what it's going to be. I don't think they'll bag practices entirely, because I think Sullivan wants to have some sort of element of that available. And I don't think they'll bag morning skates entirely either, because I know some guys, Matt Murray has talked about wanting to get a skate in the morning and likes that. Ole Mata is another guy. But other guys, you know, also hate them. Phil Kessel would be one of them. So I think you'll see them kind of split into 2 different groups there, the practice group and the morning skate group as we go along.
So a whole lot of optional practices then for the Penguins.
Yeah.
Here's another option that I'm wondering if we might see a little bit when you mentioned, like, Reaves' minutes being down. Without a third-line center, per se, you know, assuming that at some point they're going to go out and get one, and that McKegg will end up being the fourth-line center, and Rowney will go back to being a winger, Do you think that you might see more double shifting of Crosby and Malkin at center with the down, you know, with the third and fourth line wingers at least early on in the season?
Maybe, but not a ton, Jim. They've liked what McKeag has brought. I think that's actually been a pleasant surprise. I know I talked to Rutherford the other day about it was actually after the Chicago loss, and I'm asking, you know, does it make you think about a third-line center any differently? And just said flatly, we didn't lose these games because of the third-line center or a fourth-line center. They've been plenty happy with McKeag. So, I guess if they're trying to add some offense into it, because McKeag at this point is kind of limited, they will use Crosby and Malkin in that capacity. But I don't know. Playing the hockey they've played these past 2 years, I just don't think that's smart. I think that's putting miles on the wheels that you don't have to. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important that they get a third-line center who can contribute offensively, which is what they're shopping for, and, you know, get the right guy. That was one of the great things about Nick Bonino being here, is you didn't have to put all that on Crosby and Malkin that they offered, and Matt Cullen as well. So, you know, maybe some, but not a lot.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us. You talk about putting mileage on the wheels, and you talked about it up front, but what about on the blue line? Will there be a concerted effort to dial back Chris Letang at all this year, or is that an impossibility when he's available?
I think it's an impossibility when he's available, just because of him playing in all situations. And I think they are acutely aware. We've seen this over, you know, I think Sullivan said something at the end of the season, and I talked to him up in Buffalo, and he, like, clarified about Letang and how much they wanted to change his game. And now, like, either one of them just kind of gets a little PO'd whenever it's brought up. And I understand why. And I think there's a sensitivity here to, like, having Letang change anything he's doing. And if you play him 18, 19 minutes a night, one, I don't think he's going to be happy. But two, you know, where are you taking him away from? Do you take him off the power play? I don't know. I would rotate him and Schultz. I wouldn't take him off entirely. Do you take him off the penalty kill? He's probably their best penalty killer right now, especially with Ian Cole out. So I just think that's too tough to do. He adds too much to this team, and you don't want to send the message that you're changing him in any way. I don't think he would like that, and I think it would probably be detrimental to his game.
Now with Ruwidel filling in for Cole, Cole ate a puck the other night. That's a tough one to watch, and he sent the pic of what it looked like. Two questions, really. Ruwidel, he moves the puck. What else does he bring? And Cole, something like that, how long does it take someone to come back from that, not only physically but mentally?
Yeah, I'll do the second one first, Josh. But one, physically, I think he's still dealing with some swelling and is not quite right and is going to have to get used to all that stuff. And we saw him put Cole on IR. Mentally, I don't know. One part of me would like to think that Ian Cole's still going to be a complete nut job and laying down in front of slap shots, and he probably will. But two, like, I can relate it to my own, like, baseball experience or something like that. If you get hit in the head with a pitch, you're a little bit hesitant. I know in college, like, I took a comebacker off the knee, and, like, it took me a while to get used to pitching and not having the ball fired back at your knee. You know, I'm sure there are football equivalents or anything like that, but I think it's only natural that there's going to be some hesitancy there. And as far as Ruwidel, this really isn't a big move at all. And I don't mean that to downplay it. It's just Ruwidel is a perfectly capable NHL defense. He's going to play sort of a quiet game. He's a sneaky good skater. He plays within himself. You're not going to see him jumping into the play and taking too many risks. He's going to make the safe play most of the time. Very communicative on the back end. They're not going to get mixed up in any coverages. But a real easy hole to patch with him.
You're looking forward to this tonight, Jason. You know, you get a chance to play against, I guess they're still the Penguins' primary rival now. I think now that Philadelphia's fallen off, how much fun is this going to be tonight early on?
Jim, after the White House visit and all that stuff, I've never been more excited for a morning skate in a game in my life. I don't think so. But no, it is. It's exciting every time they play the Capitals. It really is. And, you know, I think a lot of people were writing Alex Ovechkin off, and dude goes out and scores 7 goals in the first 2 games. I know they had some sort of weird moves over the summer with Johansson and losing Shattenkirk and some other pieces. Alsner, kind of a lesser piece, but still, this is still one of the Penguins' biggest rivals out there. You know they're going to see them in the playoffs. There's a twisted history from the Washington side how they think of the Penguins. We can play 82 games, but when it comes down to it, I still look at this thing and say the Penguins are probably going to have to go through Columbus and Washington, maybe in the same order as last year, maybe flip them, doesn't really matter, but those are the two teams.
Last thing for you is we talked to Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We haven't talked enough about that White House visit. What was the air like? Was it an expectancy of – was it tense at all? Or was it just, well, we're just going to go check out the place? Well, how would you categorize it?
Yeah, I don't think it was – the only tenseness was them continually getting asked about it and how they were getting asked and how the questions were being framed. And, you know, it's not the first time Mike Sullivan was asked about, are you being afraid of being used as a political pawn or something like that? And, you know, they just come a little bit more aggressively when you're here, and they're not coming from, you know, me or Yowie or Bumble or something like that. You know, that's not like familiar faces that he kind of knows where you're coming from with this stuff. And I don't think they like it. You saw the Penguins just trot out Sullivan yesterday. No players, not unexpected. But, you know, I wouldn't say it was awkward. I think they enjoyed themselves. I think they did what they intended to do. People will criticize them for it, sure, and I think they're aware of that. But I don't think there was an awkwardness. I just think there was an awkwardness and that they're tired of talking about all this stuff.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Enjoy the nation's capital. We'll talk to you again sometime soon, Jason.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
All right, bye. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.